Welcome everybody. I'd like to formally welcome you all, the members of the gallery and the press, to this special council meeting. My name is Councillor Rose Hodge and I'm the Mayor of the Surf Coast Shire Council. I'd firstly like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we meet today and pay respects to the elders past and present, and also acknowledge the citizens of the Surf Coast Shire. Secondly, I'd like to inform you the chambers have been fitted with a hearing loop which transmits directly to hearing aids if needed. I will now call on Councillor Smith to say the pledge.
As councillors, we carry out our responsibilities with diligence and integrity and make fair decisions of lasting value for the welfare, well-being of our community and environment.
Thank you. Are there any apologies, councillors? I have got a text from Councillor McIntyre. He's on his way and will be here as soon as possible. So any conflicts of interest? No? Thank you. And councillors, just a reminder, as always, a mover has a 5 minute to open the debate and 3 minutes every other speaker, and then the mover has a 2 minute closing reply. So moving on to 1.1, the annual financial statements. The purpose of this report is to present the 2018-19 financial statements to the council and in principle approval, as recommended by the Audit and Risk Committee and in accordance with section 132 of the Local Government Act 1989. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. A seconder? Thank you, Councillor McKittrick. Councillor Goldsworthy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is very much procedural now. We've gone through a process of preparing the financial statements. Part of that process is for the Audit and Risk Committee to go through and review the financial statements, which they did last Thursday. There was a number of questions, etc., that were presented back to officers. The Audit and Risk Committee was satisfied with those responses. Tonight we've got to actually, the Auditor General has already finished their audit on the 17th of August, and tonight is a procedural thing for us to do where we as council resolve to accept the financial statements. We then sign them off as the two councillors as members of the Audit and Risk Committee, and then that then can go back to the Auditor General for final sign off to go into our annual accounts. So, thank you.
Councillor Goldsworthy. Councillor McKittrick.
Nothing more to add, thank you.
Thank you. Madam Mayor. Any other councillors like to speak on this? Councillor Wellington.
Thanks very much, Madam Mayor. But just a couple of questions. In the paper that's presented to councillors, there's a comment that the financial statements are subject to rigorous audit to ensure their accuracy. Is that referring to the external audit of the Auditor General? Is that the audit?
Yes, it makes
sense.
Another question?
Oh, yes, I do, actually. Another question. So the AICD actually recommends, some of us are fellows, some of us are members, some of us have gone and done training, that it's a good practice approach for the audit committee to schedule a meeting with the external auditors without management presence. So I just wondered if that did happen with our audit committee meets with the auditors.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Would you like to speak on it now?
Well, yeah, I've just got a couple of other questions. Councillor Goldsworthy said there was a list of questions from the audit committee that were circulated to councillors. I don't believe I received that. I don't know whether anybody else did, but I haven't seen any questions from the audit committee.
Yes.
Related to the audit and risk committee members only.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Look.
Now you're talking on it. thank you, Councillor Wellington.
The other question I had is that the report says that the recommendations to council are consistent with those outlined in the report, and I just wondered. I'm not aware of whether the audit committee raised any other issues, so we're not being told that the recommendations of the audit committee are reproduced for us, so I'm just not sure. I feel the process is lacking a little in the sense of, as a governing body, we're being asked to sign off these statements, and we don't, other than the people who are at the audit committee obviously know what happened, but the rest of us, I suspect, don't. And I just... I just wonder whether we can be assured by the councillors who were at the audit committee meeting whether or not any significant issues were raised by council or by the audit committee, whether they are addressed, and whether there are any recommendations of the committee in addition to those.
Thank you. That will be the last question, Councillor Goldsworthy.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. No, there was no issues or items of significance that were raised in the Audit and Risk Committee. The Auditor General, through their audit, had a number of not issues, but questions for officers, and they were duly reported to the Auditor General and signed off on.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this?
I haven't spoken.
Oh, now you're speaking. All right.
And I do. Can I just say, Madam Mayor, that this is not just procedural. This is actually really an important function of the council. And I think we do need to be able to ask our questions and ensure that we're satisfied that we can actually sign off these accounts. I don't think this should be seen as tokenism in any respect.
I'm not saying it was. If you could now talk on it, please.
No, but, well, I'm sorry, but Councillor Goldsworthy did say this is procedural, and I actually just would like to address that to some extent. I'll just find my place here. There's a couple of items in the report that I'd like to comment on. One is there's a 41% increase in our work cover fees, and I can't find where it is now, but I noted it going through. That raises some questions for me. We obviously haven't got a 41% increase in employee costs. We've got about a 10% increase in employee costs. So from my perspective, I think that is something that council should be following through on at some point in the future to find out why we've got such an increase in our work cover fees. I just also saw that the total remuneration of key management personnel has increased by more than $750,000, which is an overall increase of 125%. And we've got an extra three positions in that category of personnel. It's a very, very large increase, and it raises the question for me. I'm not, you know, there may well be reasons that are quite explicable as to why that's occurred, but and there might be a bit of bracket creep, but it does seem like a huge amount of bracket creep. And I do think as a council, we need to be careful that we don't just become a very large bureaucracy. I'm not sure what those key management personnel positions are and whether or not those people are in service roles, which would be quite different from if they were in, you know, bureaucratic sort of roles. So I think there's a question there. The staffing is the responsibility of the CEO, but obviously as a governing body, we need to be confident that the staffing expenditure is being well spent and directed towards delivering services to residents. So in my view, there's a couple of issues there. One is that very large increase in that sort of middle management level costs, and the other one is the work cover costs that need to be perhaps followed through by council in the future, hopefully the not too distant future. I think we are being asked to, in principle, endorse these statements, and I think that we do, councillors, need to be really clear that an Auditor General's audit does not establish the accuracy of financial statements. That is the responsibility of this organisation. It's the responsibility of council laws, and the Auditor General pointed that out in a he says that it is council laws, not the auditors, who are responsible for internal controls such as we consider necessary to enable the preparation and presentation of a financial report that's free from material misstatement. And he communicated with council officers earlier in the year, during this last financial year, and he said our audits are not designed to detect and report all instances of fraud. This is clearly outlined in our engagement letters and in our audit strategies, and accordingly references to the Auditor General as a line of defence, if you like, in our sort of fraud mitigation strategies is inappropriate and should be corrected. And I think the statement of officers that these have been subject to rigorous audit is also inappropriate. I ask for extension of time, Madam Mayor, this is an important
just
item.
Just to very finish off.
Yep. I'm not suggesting there's any evidence or likelihood of evidence of material misstatement, but I do think as a council we need to be clear that we are signing off on the annual financial statements. We need to be sure that the audits have been done in accordance with good practice and across the scope of good practice. We didn't do and financial audit in 2018 and 19, the only financial audit this organisation undertook was an asset management review. So we didn't do a review of our fraud controls or of our rates or our financial controls. So I'm frankly, I think, you know, they're well-presented accounts, and I'm sure I have no reason to doubt them. But I think from a governance perspective, Madam Mayor, we as a council need to elevate our interest in the audits that are being undertaken. We cannot just delegate it to the two councillors on the Audit and Risk Committee. This is a serious responsibility for the entire governing body and every individual on it. And we need to, I think, pay much more attention. We need to debate the audit and risk minutes.
We get it. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Madam.
No, I'm sorry. You've gone well over time. I've been here a long time.
We can
debate
it outside.
But I'm sure we get it all. We get it all. Would anyone else like to speak on this item?
Just a point of order. We had, actually, and I've forgotten to mention about 7.2. Was that to go into our recommendation?
There was an amendment, wasn't there?
Wasn't there an amendment?
Have an amended recommendation already presented?
On the board.
I was reading off here and then I just remembered.
Would anyone else like to speak on this? Councillor Goldsworthy, did you want to close?
Just briefly, Madam Mayor. I take Councillor Wellington's points. However, every councillor is invited to attend any audit and risk committee that's held. And you can all come along as observers. I haven't seen on any occasion in the 6 years that I've been on Audit and Risk Committee anyone else apart from the Mayor coming along to observe or even to have input. So I'd certainly invite all councillors to consider coming along to the meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Thank you. Moving on to 1.2. The purpose of this report is to present the 2018-19 Surf Coast Shire Council performance statement to Council, the in-principle approval as recommended by the Audit and Risk Committee in accordance with Section 132 of the Local Government Act. Do I have a mover?
I'd like to move an amended motion, Madam Mayor.
Yes, would you like to read it out?
I'm happy with the motion as it is, with the exception that we, somewhere in the motion, delete the statement in the performance statement that says, there's a paragraph that says, with its rich agricultural and aesthetic attributes, the hinterland is increasingly contributing to the Shire's economic development, particularly via local food and niche tourism opportunities. I'd like the particularly via local food and niche tourism opportunities to be deleted from that statement. So the motion would be approves in principle the performance statement with the deletion of that statement. So it'd be an amendment to point one.
We'll just
one.
Get that written up.
We have the page. Sorry.
Have you got a page?
It's page 58. I think it would be better to amend point one of the recommendation that just says approves in principle to the... or that two should be deleted from that in any case. Improves in principle the performance statement. And then it should say subject to deletion of that particular phrase.
Is that the correct wording for you, Councillor Wellington?
Subject to deletion of the phrase and then perhaps put it in quotation marks, particularly via local food and niche tourism opportunities. My point is that, of course, agriculture, that's a very, very, very small part of our agriculture in the hinterland.
Do I have a seconder once that's written up?
I'll second.
Councillor McIntyre seconds. Councillor Wellington?
Thanks very much, Madam Mayor. So I'll just explain what I was... aesthetic is AES, I think, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Spelling.
what I was wanting to do there, this is sort of the introduction, the description of the municipality, and the paragraph that says, with its rich agricultural and aesthetic attributes, the hinterland is increasingly contributing to the Shire's economic development is clearly, you know, correct and needs to be recognised. But I think that we're just totally overlooking the massive industry that's out there in agriculture at the moment. So we have beef, we have sheep, we have pigs, we have grain. We have enormous businesses out in the hinterland. And the whilst we might, you know, some people might focus more on local food and niche tourism, that is truly what it is. It's local and niche. It doesn't in any sense stand up with the with the very large and significant agricultural businesses that we have out in the hinterland. So I think we just need to recognise that there's a very big industry out there and it contributes an enormous amount to the economy of this shire, and we shouldn't offset it by focusing only on some important but relatively minor issues.
Just yep. Can you check the words? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We just wanted you happy with those words.
The statement subject to deletion, it's rich agricultural land city. I didn't want to delete the whole bit. Just after particularly was what I wanted to delete. So if you delete the first, I mean, obviously that is correct, the first part of the sentence, with its rich agriculture. So I'd delete, delete from there up to the quotation marks.
Thank you.
And I'll
just have a look at it.
Yeah, we should have done that before you started.
As well as.
So thank you, Councillor Wellington.
No, the other bit.
After the comma.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the bit she's key.
That's good.
Happy with that.
Proves in principle subject to deletion of the phrase. Just full stop after economic development. Yeah, particularly via local food and niche tourism opportunities.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's fine.
And I apologise for interrupting. I didn't mean to.
That's all right. Thank you very much. So this performance statement is an important... It's actually really quite a nice summary of some of the things Council has done during the year, and it's a sort of at a glance. One has to question some of the performance indicators. I know they're not... We don't set them. But we have to report against them, and it does give us an opportunity to benchmark in some ways, although with some of them you think, oh gosh, what does that actually mean? Again, I would note the higher employee costs this year, 2.8 million. Our employee costs have increased significantly in excess of our overall income. On page 60 there's a reference to the Shire being having, you know, high levels of advantage with pockets of disadvantage. And again, I would remind councillors that, you know, Winchelsea definitely has significant areas of disadvantage, and we need not to forget that. I did note that we have no animal management prosecutions, and I thought that was somewhat unusual given the number of complaints we get about animal management, so just something that I noted there. We benchmark ourselves with satisfaction with council decision making. I think regardless of how we perform against our peers, we most definitely should not be happy with a 54% level of satisfaction with our decision making in the Shire, or 47% with planning and building permits. I think we need to look,
Point of order, sorry, is Councillor Wellington talking towards her amendment or talking?
I moved the motion. It's not an amendment, it's a motion.
It's an alternative motion.
It's been seconded.
Yep.
Thank you for reminding me. Planning and building permits are referenced also in terms of level of satisfaction, 47%. That's not great. I mean, I think we need to set ourselves some goals to improve satisfaction. I think in any other service industry, recognising local government is a bit different because people have to pay and they sort of resent it a bit. I think in any other service industry, though, that would be seen as a catastrophe, to be honest, rather than something that's accepted and continue to be accepted. We've got an increasing level of staff turnover, and we sort of say in that part of the report that people aren't going to other public sector organisations. That's probably not surprising, because they tend to be trained and familiar with public sector business. I'm concerned about 11.87%, nearly 12% turnover. That combined with our increasing wages bill, or its salary bill, and our increasing work cover bill just raises a few red flags for me as to what we need to know about what's happening with our employer group. However, overall, I think it's a useful performance statement and interesting read, and hopefully it will be received that way.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Councillor McIntyre, nothing. Anyone else like to speak for or against this? Councillor Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry, I got up before you said it. I just had a quick look, and actually the performance statement for the last 3 years The intro to the performance statement for the last 3 years has only changed marginally with percentages changes in population. So we've actually just taken out something that we've had in the last 3 years and probably of value, and maybe we should challenge ourselves to relook at the whole thing next year.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this? Councillor McKittrick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to say a few words in regard to the performance statement. That it's actually a summary of the year, an overview, and I note that the Audit and Risk Committee have indicated there was a consensus that was a fair overview of the Surf Coast Shire's performance for the last 12 months. And also note, as Councillor Wellington noted, there's a number of areas where there's room for improvement, so it's there's transparency around this performance statement. A couple of issues particularly in regards to animal management, there's probably a question around the definition of prosecution. Is prosecution actually a penalty notice issue, or is it an area or a situation where someone is taken to court? Also noting that there's an increase per head in costs for each person in the community. I'm wondering if that's actually a ratepayer or how we work out the population for the Surf Coast Shire. So that's something I'd like to look into further, and I'll raise the next Audit and Risk Committee. Unfortunately, Madam Mayor, I was quite ill last week and was unable to attend, but I'm sure Councillor Clive Goldsworthy did an admirable job there. We also have areas of looking at statutory planning, where 622 applications came in and only 13 of those matters went to VCAT, which is a significant decrease previously. So hopefully that's stemming in the right direction in regards to being able to work with people making applications and ensuring that through the planning team and the planning area, we can get things moving and not having to go to VCAT. But of course, people who are of that mind have that right to do that. And finally, we're looking at, and very concerning about waste diversion. I note that we've had the lowest diversion green waste production and reduction in or recovery in waste since 2010, which is a concern. And we can look at SKM, but we know that we need to work harder at it, as we did made some recommendations in our last ordinary meeting. So there are things on this performance review that obviously we need to work through in the next 12 months.
Thank you, Councillor McKittrick. Anyone else like to speak on this? No? Councillor Wellington, would you like to close?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I'm interested. I didn't look back on the last 2 years, but I take it that Councillor Smith's saying we've just reproduced the introduction every year.
No, well, there's only very minor
changes, yeah.
But that has been.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, but I just want to be clear about that, because that actually is a good point. And I guess you'd hope we could, sort of personalise this a bit year by year and sort of look at some of the more specific things we've done. I just want to be clear that I'm not in any sense diminishing the value of the local food and niche tourism opportunities under no circumstances, but I'm just saying, if you look at it from an economic perspective, which is what that statement says, that we're contributing to the economic development of the Shire, you have to look at some of those enormous businesses out there, and it'd take an awful lot of niche tourism opportunities to offset them, I suspect. So I think we have to acknowledge those people. There's some tremendous benefit in the economic aspects of the farming community in the hinterland, and we ought to be recognising it, as well as the niche tourism and things that we find enjoyable. I don't know whether matters going to VCAT is a, I don't know if it's a performance indicator. I know, and I talk to a lot of people with planning, and I know that people don't like me doing that, but I do it, and people are terrified of VCAT and often don't have the funds. And, there's lots of reasons why they don't go to VCAT. So I think, I'm not sure I'd be counting on how many people appeal to VCAT as a question of how well we're doing with our planning. It's an indicator, but of itself would probably need to be interpreted in that context. I just wanted also to be clear to Councillor Goldsworthy. I'm not making any criticism of the Audit Committee at all in my comments, going back to the previous item really, but it's all related. What I'm saying is we have a governance responsibility, and I think our role has been quite unclear, and we've delegated and relied on and depended too much on the Audit Committee and been lucky to do that. And we've got good people. And I look back on the audits that have been done over the last 10 years. There's a whole list of them in one of the reports that came through to us in June, I think. And the way they have done their work has been, I think, beyond criticism. They go back and check and see if recommendations are implemented. They're systematic in their planning and they're very comprehensive. So I'm not making any criticism of them. I'm saying we have a responsibility and we need to fulfil it.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Thank you. As there is no further items of business, I now declare this meeting closed at 6:25. Thank you, everybody.